So our Bible reading this evening is from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 14, and we're going to read the first 11 verses together. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. You've maybe noticed that at this time of national emergency, I'm not really following a series. I'm sort of moving around different passages as I feel led by the Lord, and I think that's maybe easier given that we can't be together on an ongoing, regular basis in the way we normally are. But let's read from Mark chapter 14 and verse 1. This is God's word. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him, for they said, not during the feast, lest there be a tumult of the people. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. But there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was the ointment thus wasted? For this ointment might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they reproached her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you will, you can do good to them, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burying. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. Amen. And we thank God for the reading of his word. I wonder tonight, if you're a Christian, why do you serve God? Do you serve God out of fear because you're afraid of God and because you're afraid of ending up in hell? Do you serve God out of tradition? Were you brought up to serve God and you've just carried on doing it? Or do you serve God out of duty because you just sense it's the right thing to do? Or do you serve God out of self-interest? You hope that in the end he'll reward you somehow for favours that you've done. Why do you serve God? Tonight, as we turn to this story in Mark chapter 14, we turn to the story of a woman. And in answer to the question, why do you serve God? She would say, none of the above. She had a very different reason for serving God. The action that reveals her motivation takes place in the home of Simon the leper, in a town called Bethany, about 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem. Presumably Simon is now cleansed from his leprosy, and he has invited Jesus, and he's invited the disciples, and he has invited some of the women along as well, and perhaps others, to come together for a feast or an honorable occasion to honor Jesus as the one who has taken away the leprosy from which he had been suffering. And what a blessing it is when Jesus comes into your house and into your home. And this man has now Jesus in his home at his table. And what a blessing, what a pleasure, what a privilege, what a thrill to have Jesus at your table. And into this situation comes this woman. It may be Mary, the sister of Martha, who is the sister of Lazarus that Jesus had raised from the dead. It may be her. And into this situation, John's Gospel identifies her, that she takes out an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard. It's very expensive. She breaks it, and then she pours it over Christ's head. You might say, as Jesus himself refers in verse 8, to the fact she had anointed him with this pure nard. And the significance of this comes across when you understand how much it cost. There were some people present, they just thought it was a waste of money. And if you do something for Christ, there'll always be people who narc about it. and think you've gone too far, you've given too much, you've done too much. And their comment is this: this ointment might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. Wonder how much they were giving to the poor as they jump to the defense of the poor. But really, they're just having a go at the woman and what they see as her extravagance. Now, 300 denarii was about a year's wages for a farm laborer, so this was no insignificant amount of money. And to the people who are watching on, basically, she's blown it. She's, what a waste, is the comment they say in verse 4. She's just blown it. She just poured it out on Jesus' head. And this is a year's wages. It just seems such a waste. And it sounds it's a wise thing to say, well, far better wouldn't it have been to sell this and give the money to the poor? But look at Jesus' response in verse 6. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me, for you always have the poor with you. And whenever you want, you can do good to them, but you will not always have me. So let me come back to the opening question. Why do you serve God? For this woman, it wasn't fear that drove her to do this. It wasn't tradition. Nobody had ever done this before. She's not following a tradition. It's not duty. No one expected it. And it's certainly not self-interest, because she got nothing out of this other than a big hole in her bank account. The reason she did this was because she loved Jesus Christ. She wanted to lavish upon Christ her affection. Her heart was burning with love for him. Because of who he was and because of all that he had done for her, nothing was too much for Jesus. And Jesus said she had anointed his head for burying, that what she had done would be told in all the world, wherever the gospel would be preached. And hence, here it is tonight being preached to you through the media that you're listening on. And the story, as Jesus predicted, would be told all across the world. God's word coming true for us here tonight in 2020. But why? Why did Jesus hold her up as an example, and why should this be preached all over the world? And the answer is quite simple. Because this woman did what she did for no other reason than the fact that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing's too much for him. There's no sacrifice too great for him. No cost too high to pay for him. She does it for him. She would quite happily sing the modern hymn, Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be, Jesus, all for Jesus, all my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into his hands. So let me come to some practical application of our study this evening, and to ask, why do you serve the Lord? Why do you serve Jesus Christ and do what you do for him? Why do you do it? Many of us will know the name of Selwyn Hughes, the author of the daily Bible reading notes Every Day with Jesus. And in his autobiography, he tells of his days at Bible college and how this very story, Mark chapter 14, challenged him in a very real way. He says this: I had been in danger of putting doctrine before devotion. I loved the time we spent in the classroom studying all the different subjects, but I knew I must not lose sight of the one who was behind the book. He goes on, the most important thing in our lives is not our grasp of doctrine, although that is important, but how passionate we are in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if we're just doctrine, we become dry. If we're just love, we become drippy. We need both doctrine and love in order to be mature, strong Christians. So let me ask you, as I ask myself again this question this evening, why do you do what you do for Jesus Christ? Why do you serve the Lord? Is it just to get information about him? Is it just out of guilt it's the right thing to do? Is it just tradition you were brought up that way? Is it fear you're afraid of God and afraid of hell? Is it self-interest you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours is basically your philosophy? The phrase can be summarized, blessings in, blessings out. Is that it? For remember, this woman got nothing back whatsoever. In fact, all she got was criticism from her fellow diners who didn't understand what she was doing. But what I want to say to you this evening is this: she had understood the gospel. For isn't the gospel the story of Jesus Christ pouring out his love and lavishing his love upon the human race? That's why he says in verse 8, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burying. Before the burying of Jesus would be the crucifixion of Jesus. And of his own cross, Jesus said in John 15, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Or as he expands, or as it is expanded in Romans chapter 5, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. On the cross, you see, Jesus poured out far more than a bottle of perfume or a year's wages. On the cross, Jesus poured out his life. In the Old Testament, it says, your blood is your life. So when Jesus poured out his blood on the cross, it was his life he was pouring out, every last part of it, lavishing it upon the lost, paying the ransom of the lost, holding nothing back. Hence, that's why it says in 1 John 3, verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So as I close, let me come back again to the question, why do you serve God? Why do I serve God? And do you know, I'm grateful to God for this time of lockdown, for it's giving us time to think. It's giving us time to rethink, to sit back and analyze. Why do we do what we do? Why? Why do I do what I do? Because God doesn't want slaves just to keep the machinery of church turning. Sometimes I fear we end up with that kind of a mindset. God wants people like the woman in the story who have so seen Jesus and so understood Jesus and believed on him and on what he has done for them that they just want to serve him, to give and not to count the cost, to joyfully bestow upon him whatever. For they know that his death on the cross is the measure, and they are so full of gratitude that graceful service is their only response, the only worthy response. And even if there are no returns, even if there are no signs following that they desire, they're going to do what they do because they love the Lord, and they're just going to keep on serving him. So do you serve God just for what you get out of it? Hoping it will make you a better person? Hoping it will give you respectability? Hoping it will assuage your guilt? Hoping it will build the church? Hoping it will get you respect in the community? Or do you serve him because you love him? And nothing is too much for Jesus. No mountain too high. No valley too deep. No sea too wide, no people too hard, no job too much trouble, no money too much to give. You just want to serve the Lord, no prayers too hard to pray. You just want to serve because you love Jesus and you want to lavish your life upon him. I once had a friend, he has died now and he has gone to be with the Lord. And in his living room, just beside the door, he had the words of a hymn. And this is the way the hymn goes. You maybe know the hymn. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the farthest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the skies of parchment made, to write the love of God above, we'd drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole that stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. You see, this woman had experienced that love of God, and you can tell, because she lavishes love upon Jesus Christ. It's how you know a Christian. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. They love their brothers and sisters in the church. They are full of love. And this woman is our example, our shining example, that you and I would ask ourselves, are we like this? If not, what do we need to do? Do we need to repent of our sin? Do we need to repent of our cynicism, our bitterness? Do we need to repent of seeing things in a wrong way, thinking that things should be going our way and maybe not someone else's? How do we respond to this? In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, the prophet says, though the fig tree does not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Whatever the circumstances, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. He is the God of my salvation. And this woman, likewise, like Habakkuk, is just rejoicing in the Lord. She's just giving and not counting the cost. And may that song of love be your song and my song, in famine or in feast. And may you sing as I sing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because that's the voice of the true sheep, who just love the shepherd, who just love the Lord, and will serve him, whether they're in plenty or whether they're in want. They just love the Lord.